Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Weekly Cooldown. I am Kami Jace, your host for another episode. If you're joining us for the first time, this is the show where we get to know the gaming news of the week, and we get to know our guest, or guests. It is episode 120 of the Weekly Cooldown. It is March 19th. We are going to jump into some quick headlines. Some stuff happened this week. As I'm sure you know, stuff happens every week. We're going to get into the rest of the show. I have some cool guests here today, and we're going to talk about video games, because what else is there to talk about? Politics? No, none of that. Anyway, let's get on with the headlines. Activision Blizzard is about to lay off around 190 employees, with 50 of those employees coming from the live events and esports sector of the company. The company is citing the pandemic as its main concern, since live shows are currently on hold. Many viewers of esports and live events are generally at home and online. As part of their layoff, employees will receive 3-month severance, health benefits for the next 12 months, and, this is very true, a $200 gift card to the company's own Battle.net PC platform. I truly wish I could get that for being laid off. Not really. In probably unrelated news, Activision Blizzard's CEO is set to receive a $200 million bonus as part of what is called a shareholder value creation incentive provision as part of his contract. With these latest layoffs, Activision Blizzard will have laid off approximately 10% of its workforce since 2019. PlayStation owners will be able to download 10 free games starting March 25th as part of the Play at Home program for 2021. The program started earlier this month and gave access to a free digital copy of 2016's Ratchet & Clank for the PS4. This time around, 9 indie and VR titles will be available, including Moss, Paper Beat, Enter the Gungeon, and Subnautica. And as a special bonus, players will be able to own Horizon Zero Dawn for free starting on April 19th. Players can also, as of this recording, still claim a copy of Ratchet & Clank until March 31st. And finally, Square Enix has kicked off their first new livestream event on Thursday. We got a close first look at the next installment of Life is Strange. The game is titled Life is Strange True Colors. Additionally, Life is Strange and Life is Strange Before the Storm are set to be remastered for consoles later this year. We also got a closer look at the third-person loot shooter known as Outriders, which also released a demo earlier this year. A look at some Tomb Raider content coming soon, including a trilogy re-release of Lara Croft's recent stories. Another look at Balan Wonderworld, and a look at some new content for Marvel's Avengers, including a Black Panther expansion reveal. We also got a look at a brand new title from Square Enix called Forspoken. Forspoken was revealed in June last year and was previously known as Project Athia. While we still do not know much about the title yet, we do know that it follows a character by the name of Frey, who must use magical abilities to survive in a world called Athia. Frey is played by actor Ella Balinska. Forspoken is currently set to release in 2022. And those are just some of the headlines from this week. Of course, if you want to chat about anything else that happened this week, anything at all, you can hit me up on Twitter. You know what my Twitter handles are.
Like to talk about politics at Kami Jace Gaming on Twitter. I know you really wanted to talk about politics. You said there's nothing but politics to talk about.
Did I say that? No, that's you must have misheard me, or you must have been speaking possible. To my inner demons. Who are also named Kami Jace.
They're also all named 12 Kami of Jace. Them. I have inner demons too, and all 12 of my inner demons are named Kami Jace.
Wow.
They all kindred, look a lot like you. I designed
kindred
them that
souls.
Way.
You designed your inner demons.
Oh yeah. What? There's no other option. If you don't design your inner demons, you're letting someone else design your own inner demons.
Uh huh. I did outsource my designs.
Oh.
To Squarespace. They're not a sponsor,
Squarespace
but
makes great websites.
And also great inner demons.
That's I haven't amazing. Had that experience, but I trust that because I've met you.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Wait. Am I one of your inner demons?
You're all 12 of my inner demons, Kami. Just
Oh, jeez.
They must make great inner demons at Squarespace, because I modeled all of my inner demons after your perfect form.
And perfect form. I'm stumped. That's Aiden.
You know the platonic forms, like the cave and the allegory and Greece?
No.
Oh. Well, there's this thing about shadows and how the shadows on the wall of the cave aren't actually the thing that the shadows are shadows of. But if you live in a cave your whole life and you've never been out into the world and you've only seen the shadows on the wall because the sun is at your back, then you would think that the shadows on the wall are the real things. But the platonic ideal forms are the things that create the shadows on the wall that we can't see because they exist only as ideas.
Don't like that. Makes me feel stupid. That is Aiden.
Hi.
That is Aiden Kinsella. Welcome to the show.
Aiden Kinsella. And I hate making people feel stupid, but I do love talking about ancient Greece.
You've stumped me with that. I don't know what to do with that information.
Well, let's have you on Good Idea and do a whole episode on the allegory of the cave together.
It makes
that
me feel
really
like,
fun.
It makes me feel like I shouldn't ever look at shadows and I should only look at the thing that the shadow is casting from.
Yeah, kind of.
Oh, like, maybe I'm smart
All religions are just hands pointing at the moon. And if you're looking at the hand, you're missing the point. The hand is the shadow on the wall. Christianity is the shadow on the wall. Buddhism is
the shadow
on the wall.
I like the kind of double entendre of you're missing the point. Because pointing at the moon, you're missing the point.
Uh-huh.
I love it.
I never caught that before, actually. Now I feel stupid.
We're trading off here.
Andrea's here. Andrea, say hi.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Andrea. Andrea Dennison, and I've lived in a cave my whole life. This is the first time I've ever been on a podcast.
Wow.
I heard about video games, so I'm just really excited to learn about both of those things with both of you today.
Well, we're going to zap you full of knowledge and sunshine and rainbows right now, because I'm about to ask you both a very important question. What have you been playing this week?
What have we been playing this week?
What have you been playing this week?
Okay, good. I did hear you over my impromptu drum roll that definitely shouldn't have happened. I've been playing a lot of Hades, because who hasn't been playing anything but Hades? Everyone only plays Hades now, I think, is what I'm trying to say. And by everyone, I mean
believe
me,
it.
But I assume everyone else has that good of taste.
Certainly. I believe it as well.
Yeah.
Miss Cave Dweller, you have been shot with knowledge and rainbows, so now you understand video games.
Yes, with my newfound understanding of video games, I realized that I haven't been playing that many video games lately, unless the memorize every produce code at the grocery store is a video game. But when I was playing video games, I was really into the game Coffee Talk. And that's what I'm still kind of thinking about a lot. It's a kind of narrative. It's a very narrative, musically interesting little story game set in an alternate reality Seattle, where there are normal Seattleites, but there are also, you know, elves and cat girls and ogres and orcs that all live amongst the baristas and, you know,
the name of this
writers.
Game again?
Coffee Talk.
Oh, someone plugged that on a previous episode, and I've been
fantastic.
Meaning to check it out for the longest time, and I still haven't.
Yeah, it came out at the beginning of 2020, so I don't blame anyone for missing it. You know, 2020.
Yeah.
A couple things happened that year.
a few. Just
I know
a few.
At least it was on the short list for Game of the Year from Polygon. I'm not sure if it actually made it onto the final list, but yeah, it's just really, like, the soundtrack is beautiful. It's this sort of like piano lo-fi hip-hop to relax and study to vibe. And then you're also just making coffee for all these interesting characters in alternate reality Seattle and solving their problems and just vibing and keeping it tight.
I love it. I love, like,
can I get
chill
you some coffee?
I love it's chill barista detective game. That feels like the right genres.
Yeah. And it's nice. Like, I like to play it at night because the game takes place only at night, at least I think most of it. So I play it late at night. Like, I have either a cup of coffee or a drink and just kind of get into the vibe of the music and the customers and just, it's nice.
Enjoy. Very nice. Very.
Detective. That man with the deep voice, did he make this coffee you're holding? I saw him walk out that door. And I also heard him walk out that door.
Saw and heard. The
both.
Two most important senses. You didn't taste him out the door?
No, as a coffee detective, you only need to hone two of your greatest senses.
Not smell, of course.
Well, no, I'm not trying to detect coffee. I'm trying to figure out who made coffee.
Oh, I see. But you don't need your taste or smell for not coffee at all?
No. Okay.
Understood.
You can still drink it even if you can't taste it.
Let's briefly talk about your podcasts, because you have many, as I understand.
Yes, and we're supposed to make a promo because you had the great idea that we should make a promo. And then we decided that I should move to Washington so we could make podcasts together in the same place. And so the promo got pushed off. But I led with that, so whoever's listening to this knows how seriously we're taking these podcasts. We are yes. from the Sinister Parent Company podcast network, which we made up, and I direct it, and Andrea helps me direct the network, and we have podcasts there. And right now, there are three podcasts at the Sinister Parent Company Network, and they're all different forms of entertainment, but they all have the same delightful feeling that you're getting from listening to our voices right now. The first show that I'll mention is Good Idea. That's the one Andrea and I do together. Recently, Andrea became my co-host on the two-person version of the show. And for that one, we have guests on sometimes, and sometimes we don't, and we make music on it, and we have a plan to do these things called Back in Time musicals, where during parts of the show where both of us are playing music and neither of us is podcasting or improvising lyrics at the time, because we improvise songs from time to time, we'll go back and use the content of the show to create, to improvise over the songs and maybe add even more instruments essentially to the songs that we had been performing that didn't already have lyrics. And we probably won't do that with all of them because maybe they won't all be good, but it's this super highly produced augmented reality universe now. And Good Idea, those rules where we have the music on the show and it's an improvised podcast. It's a comedy philosophy design podcast where we do those three things in all directions of those three words. And there's music on it and we augment the reality. So it's a high post production. And then the other two shows that we have at Sinister Parent Company, which are Straight Off the Top of My Headlines, an improvised news show that AJ Generis and I do, where we improvise a dystopia based on the headlines, also has an augmented reality and musical improv and normal improv component. And it is also delightful. But the format of just how we do the improv and the style of the show is a little different than on Good Idea, which is more of a freeform conversation with fewer rules. And then Something Wonderful Right Away is our long-form improvised play that is also now a musical as of season two, the second season of season one part two, which starts with the episode Glass Duck. Now, the day this podcast is coming out, which is the 19th of March, correct?
Yes.
Delightful. That is today. There is an episode of Straight Off the Top of My Headlines coming out, and it is... episode 90 of Straight Off the Top of My Headlines, and Andrea's on it, and I'm on it, and AJ's on it, and it is actually my favorite piece of radio fiction I've ever created. The music production in it is really good, and the improv in it is tremendous, and we're all having a great time the whole time. And if you think that this episode is fun, you'll enjoy that. I promise. Go check out Straight Off the Top of My Headlines. It's gonna be a good time. That's our podcast. Yes,
keep listening to this show first, and then switch over to the other one.
Also, check out Kami on one currently existing episode of Good Idea, which is the episode Mafia 4 Manifest Destiny, William Shatner's Demise.
Yes, that's right.
And we've recorded other episodes with Kami, but as I mentioned, they're all high production and life's been in huge flux lately. So one thing at a time, they will come out.
It is understandable.
Yeah, Kami, back to your delightful podcast.
I suppose many of you already know I am producing a second podcast known as the Greatest Gaming Game Show Ever. And
it is the greatest game show ever.
Thank you very much. And as far as high production goes, I'm trying to pull out as many stops as I can, all by my own.
It makes me laugh. It makes me laugh so much. It's so good.
I am hopeful that the rest of you will listen to that. But the pilot is out. The other episodes are coming soon. But yeah.
The pilot's on this feed, right?
Yes, it is. It is on the Weekly Cooldown feed, and you can listen to it.
Fuck yeah.
And it's great, and it's great. And so is the podcasts we said before. Something Wonderful. I'll say it again. Something Wonderful right away. The Good Idea podcast, which I am on. And Straight Off the Top of My Headlines, which I absolutely love, because I love news and I love improv.
We really, really need to have you on it.
Yeah, well, it's a great match for that show.
Let's do it. Let's do it up.
All right, we'll set that up. We'll talk later.
Let's talk off mic as we go to a break. We got to take a break. Breaks happen, and like a good Kit Kat, give me a break. We'll be right back.
Dragon Ball Z, One Piece, Naruto, all things that we love, all manga that were originally published in the legendary magazine Weekly Shonen Jump.
But not every series can run for 300 chapters and have a hit anime. This is David.
This is Jordan.
We're the hosts of Shonen Flop. Each episode we look at manga that ran in Jump that didn't quite make it.
We discuss what it did wrong, what it did right, how the series could have turned itself around, and ultimately, was it a flop or not?
We're on all your favorite podcast apps, and you can find us at shonenflop.com.
Keep on flopping, floppers.
Hi, I'm Mike, the storyteller from Tales of Asperon. On this clear night, you find yourself at a makeshift camp within the Whiteleaf Wood. Beside you, an older gentleman sits on a log with a book, writing of its own accord. The light from the stellar rings surrounding the planet bring a pleasant glow to this person's scarred face.
This story is about four young folks who cross paths in the simple town of Homestead, on the frontiers of Asperon. Together, these kids save a poisoned man on the street, believing him to be a hero of sorts. Little did they know, this kindness would unravel their lives into a heap of trouble. You see, Asperon is filled with danger. The Hearthlands will melt your body to its very bones, and titanic beasts roam the jungles and forests. Though the frontier is the worst of all. It has no kings, queens, or country, just people. People who will take whatever they want. The frontier, well, it's where heroes are forged. And I hope these kids have what it takes to make it through the fire.
Hello, adventurers. If you enjoyed that preview of our 5th edition Real Play podcast, check out our website at www.toapodcast.com. You can also find us on Apple, Google, Spotify, and most of the other free podcasting apps.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the show. So,
welcome,
it's time to get into... it's time to get into the news of the week, the real meaty points of this week. There aren't a whole lot.
Meaty points!
I like this new chorus thing that I got. Do you guys like it?
It's time
send me,
for
don't
news.
Send me. Don't send me
Remote
a tweet if you don't like
real
it.
Time.
Yeah, send a
yeah.
tweet to @KinsellaAiden. That's KinsellaAiden.
On your phones now, press 1 for like and 2 for dislike.
And 3 for, I guess.
It's KINSELLAAIDN.
Perfect. I love this chorus. Okay, so speaking of choruses and music, Twitch did some stuff in 2020. Sometime in 2020, we began seeing the music industry take aim at Twitch and Twitch streamers and begin to issue DMCA takedown notices, at thousands of streamers and archive streams that contained copyrighted music. Twitch is now trying to make it easier for users to avoid those issues with some new tools. Some of the new additions that they've rolled out this week include being emailed and notified via the My Channel inbox in Twitch about DMCA notices. The producer page now includes a tally of copyright strikes. VODs or VODs can also be deleted in larger batches, up to about 20 VODs. And a channel's VOD library can be deleted and unpublished with one simple click. So it's cool that they're kind of rolling out, these things to avoid or, kind of respond to DMCA takedowns, but unfortunately they can't really do anything about the DMCAs themselves. So again, DMCA is Digital Millennium Copyright Act, which is, the thing that says, hey, you're doing something that we don't like with our copyrighted material. And so you can get takedown notices for just having someone's song on your stream.
We're gonna let you know if there's a problem.
Which sucks. for lack of a better word. Because, I mean, a lot of streamers kind of use that music just to keep the vibes going, keep things chill, keep things moving, as it were.
It's transformative in nature, right? Wouldn't a Twitch stream be?
Yeah. What do you... Well, elaborate.
I just mean... Okay, so don't quote me on this, because I am not a lawyer. And you can tell, because yeah. I don't even know how to pronounce that word. But if it's transformative in nature, if you're using a song, depending on if it's considered transformative enough in nature, the use of the song, the content being a new thing that could not exist without the complete intervention of another person and it being completely redesigned and recontextualized, but that is different enough. It uses the original thing, and it couldn't exist without the original thing, but it's different enough mm-hmm. from the original thing in the fact that it's being represented to create a totally new concept or piece of art.
Sure.
And then you can usually use that type of thing to legally justify, like, I need to use this song in my Twitch stream because my Twitch stream is educating people about the history of this band, or... I need to, and it's really important that they hear this part of this song because I'm going to talk in my next lesson something that's going to illustrate a musical concept that will help young students create music better for the rest of their lives. Or you're making a parody song, and you're legally allowed to do that without asking the original artist because you've changed all the words and completely recontextualized, reformatted, changed the meaning of the song. So there are these legal instances where I don't know if a Twitch stream would be considered transformative enough, or how you would determine that, or what I even think about if that's transformative enough. I know that for the most part, I don't think I have any problem with it because it does seem totally transformative to me to show someone else's song in your video game space that you are using it to elevate your art and change what you're showing to people to create a new experience.
That is a good point.
I was gonna say it's kind of a similar thing. Like, go ahead. People aren't going. I'm assuming, I don't know this for sure, but I'm assuming that people aren't going to someone's Twitch stream to listen to the latest Billie Eilish song or whatever. They're You know, like, if I'm gonna go listen to, you know, if I'm gonna go watch Corpse play Among Us, I'm not going there to listen to whatever music he's playing in the background. I'm going there to watch him play Among Us.
My dad actually won't pay for Spotify, so I can only listen to Billie Eilish's Bad Guy by going to watch Corpse play Among Us. And so I often will go back to that one stream and loop the same. There's a plugin for Google Chrome you can use to loop the same section of a stream, like the same 3 minutes or however many minutes and seconds of a stream that you want. And I just loop the part with Bad Guy while I do my taxes.
But you can't do it anymore. You do your taxes, but you can't afford Spotify for yourself?
No, my dad won't pay for Spotify for me. He pays for Apple Music, but I like to use Spotify sometimes, and I have never looked up Billie Eilish on Apple Music, so I don't know if she's on there.
Got it. Understood.
But like Aiden notwithstanding, I feel like so much of the issues that I always see with these takedowns, like I've seen this on YouTube as well, how a lot of it is just like kind of bots combing through things, so there's no actual consideration for intent or how the song was getting used. It just gets flagged, and then if it isn't solved in time, then your channel gets taken down, and that can be like, that can ruin somebody's career to lose their channel like that. And that's what really worries me, or that it's gonna disproportionately hurt smaller streamers who don't have the means or the support to actually challenge these incorrect claims.
I was actually thinking about how they must be doing it, and I guess, it as you said, it must all just be bots, because like Aiden alluded to, let's say my Twitch stream is me playing a game, but then in between matches we're like, oh man, this is a really good song, let's talk about the song a little bit. Like, now we're within the realm of like critiquing the music, in which case that makes it like protected from DMCA laws. And so what, you're going to flag me even though I'm technically in the right?
You're like, doing a modified show. You're doing a multimedia radio show in the style of an old radio show where they would have the music on there so they could talk about the music a lot of the time.
Right.
Your Twitch stream, if you're doing anything like that, that would be so cool. And also, yeah, why do you get to take that away from me?
Yeah.
Or it's, what if music is playing during, like, what if you're watching a new trailer for a new game and you're watching that with your fans? I've seen that because I watch a lot of, like, The Sims Let's Players on YouTube, and they're like, oh, you know, like, let's watch the new trailer together, but they have to turn off the original sound because even though they are, like, sponsored, you know, Simmers, like, sponsored by EA, they will still get their videos taken down by YouTube for having The Sims official music in their videos.
You know, most of the Sims in those games are actually AI too, just like the things that take the music down from the videos.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I thought they were real people.
Blowing minds.
You were saying?
Blowing minds on this podcast today. We actually had that issue with BlizzCon a couple weeks ago, about a month ago now, actually, where Metallica started playing music on the Twitch gaming stream, which was streaming BlizzCon. And even though Metallica was, I believe, playing live, the Twitch gaming channel, to avoid Metallica's potential DMCA, because Metallica is actually pretty infamous for going after anyone who plays their music without permission, played 8-bit folk music to avoid the DMCA. And so if you can imagine, like, these old Norse god looking metal players, you know, on their little stage playing guitars and, you know, slamming the drums and all that to like 8-bit folk music. Like the kind of stuff you hear on, like, little wind chime noises and
So basically, I'm picturing, because I used to play, you know, that original Oregon Trail when I was in school, and it's that just like depressing, weird little 8-bit folk music because you've died of cholera. So I'm picturing that playing just like burr burr burr, you know, and then it's
pretty similar
on the video. Like, I wish I had seen that. Who knew that I was missing so much by not attending BlizzCon?
It's like one of the most embarrassing moments of video games and of just Twitch. Twitch has a lot of gaffes, especially over the past, like, mm-hmm. 2 years, a year and a half or so.
Yeah.
But, like, in order to avoid their own DMCA, or rather, to avoid the DMCA of Metallica, for which they technically have the rights to stream because they are a gaming channel and Metallica's at a gaming, like, convention, basically.
Yeah.
They just err on the side of extreme safety and do that instead. It makes me wonder if Twitch can do something about the DMCA takedowns, though. Like, can they go to somebody and say, hey, listen, stop. There's no one here is, like, using your music illegally. It's all just for the background ambiance of the stream. Can you please, like, chill out a tiny bit, music industry, please?
It's just for the ambiance of the stream, and nothing else matters.
There you go. That's a Metallica song.
Wow.
Never open myself this way. Life is
Wait, is that the real lyrics? Don't sing that on this.
All these words aren't the real ones.
God bless.
So nothing else matters.
Thank you. That
Trust
was...
I seek and I find in you.
No. No.
Every day for us something new.
I mean, like...
No Metallica.
I assume it must be. I mean, it's got to be money-based, right? So, like, when... And I don't actually know this. So when they do the DMCA, is that the right order of words, of letters?
Yeah.
DMCA?
DMCA?
Like, so if, so like when they go after Twitch to that, do, like, do the music companies, because I know the artists don't get any money out of this, but do the music companies get money when they, like, go after Twitch, or?
I wish just, I could answer that.
I wonder
if it's like the producers who are getting it, or
because
it feels like disingenuous for like Nicki Minaj to be like, no, you can't use that song on your Fortnite stream. Sorry, like it doesn't make sense to me.
Because I feel like most of the time this stuff comes down to, or maybe even if it's not that they can get money directly, I wonder if it's related to, like, copyright stuff. Like, I know that companies like Kleenex and Xerox and Scotch Tape and things like that will get mad at people who refer to all products similar to theirs as, say, a Xerox machine, because the more that the word enters the regular speech and regular conversation, then it loses its, like, you can't copyright tissue, or no, you can't,
right.
You can't copyright Kleenex at a certain point if it's used too commonly. So I wonder if it's somehow related to, like, does that push things into what's the word I'm looking for? What's the thing that the Great Gatsby just entered?
Public domain.
Public domain. Thank you. Like, does it push things into the public?
Like, if everybody on Twitch was making their Fortnite videos, and they were all like, however long those videos are, 60 minutes, 3 hours long, but the background music is because it's just this. It becomes really common for people to play a loop of Tom Jones's "It's Not Unusual." Just that song behind their Twitch stream. And at that point, it's just that one song, but everybody keeps using that one song, and they loop that song behind the entire stream, and everybody's doing it. So is Tom Jones's "It's Not Unusual," is that public domain now?
Good question. This is also, I feel... This is a joke from someone, wasn't it?
It's
it wasn't
that someone's stand-up set. So Kami, this would be considered a transformative use of the joke.
Sure.
The John Mulaney story in which he goes in which he goes to the salt and pepper diner with his friend, who he should say his name is also John. I'm not calling myself my own best friend. When they go there together and John suggests that they play It's Not Unusual as the eighth song after seven What's New Pussycats. And so It's Not Unusual in that story actually only gets played one time. I just used the song as an example.
Got it.
I would watch Fortnite videos if they played It's Not Unusual by Tom Jones on a loop in the background. That would be a huge draw for me.
I gotta say, I completely 1,000% disagree.
Not that I watch a lot of Fortnite videos. Yeah.
I am coming back to agreeing with that. Twitch does have one solution to the music problem. If you are so inclined to play it, Twitch offers a service called Soundtrack, which provides rights-cleared music for streamers to use as background tracks. So you can use that if you are so inclined. I'm sorry that you can't play Meg Thee Stallion's Body Adi 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 song. It just doesn't work that way. I'm so sorry. So sorry. We're going to move on, speaking of Fortnite, because I heard someone say that. Fortnite Season 6 is coming, is launching very soon. Actually, it's already launched. Sorry. Season 6 goes primal, as they say. There's new animals introduced for some reason. But what is perhaps more important and what everyone is talking about right now is Lara Croft. Lara Croft is she's of course in Tomb Raider, but she's also in Fortnite. Fortnite Season 6 has launched and Lara Croft is in it. And honestly, that's the whole story. But what I truly want to do is rip Epic apart, because how many cameos can they possibly get their hands on?
Well, they're working with Zoo Tycoon right now to get all those new animals. Fortnite Season 6 is officially considered Zoo Tycoon 3 by the company that originally made Zoo Tycoon.
So the new tagline is Fortnite Season 6
Zoo Tycoon 3.
And then
3,
in parentheses, Zoo Tycoon 3.
: Tomb Raider.
M-dash. Wow.
Lara's in this one. M-dash Primal in brackets. Lara's in this one. It's not unusual for Lara to be in this one. Not unusual to have fun with anyone. But when I see you hanging about with anyone, it's not unusual to see me play Zoo Tycoon 3. I'm gonna ride a tiger and I'm gonna shoot my gun.
My name is Lara Croft, let's have some fun.
So you were saying that you wanted to do something and I got excited about Fortnite and Zoo Tycoon.
Yes, so, I mean, at this point, I think the only thing we can do is make potential guesses for the next cameo that's going to happen in Fortnite. And then inevitably, when we're right, we can point back to this show and say that we knew it all along. So,
okay,
give me like 3 or 4 characters you think are probably going to show up in the next Fortnite seasons, or the next battle pass, or however
next
that works.
Battle
so
pass.
Let's get started. Aiden, what aside from Zoo Tycoon, what else do you got?
I'm 100% sure we're gonna see Spyro or Ratchet and Clank. We were talking about Ratchet and Clank earlier, and I was thinking that is my favorite onomatopoetic video game.
Ratchet and Clank? Oh yeah, sure.
Uh-huh.
I could see them being in that.
They definitely could be in Fortnite, and that's one character.
Ratchet and Clank, one character. Okay, do you have another?
It's Andrea's turn.
Oh, well, I feel like at this point, like, we need to start, like, I know that we love bringing in video game characters, but why not bring in the creators of video games? Like, I want to see, like, Will Wright. He's just in Fortnite. Like, let's get Todd of you know, Mr. Skyrim. Like, let's get him in there.
Sure,
let's
Mr. Skyrim himself.
Who was the horny individual who designed Lara Croft?
Yeah, let's get that person in.
Sure. I like that idea.
I'd love to see, speaking of game creators, what's his name? Kojima?
Piss Man. Is that the Piss Man from Metroid? Who's the Piss Man that made Metroid?
I wish I knew what you were talking about.
He put pee scenes in all the Metroid games. Who created Metroid?
I wish I knew, because now I want to know. Let's see.
I'm looking it up. Don't worry. Andrea was talking about Hideo Kojima. Why don't you guys do that while I look up the Piss Man from Metroid?
The Piss Man.
I mean, I really just think that, yeah, like, I like the chaos of having just, like, actual game designers just in the game.
Sure. I could go for that. Hideo Kojima would be an interesting choice.
Right? Like, if he was just kind of there. Like, maybe not even as, like, a character. Like, I don't know that, like, I don't know enough about exactly how Fortnite works, but, like, you're just on a Fortnite map and you're, like, running past a tree and then, like, Hideo Kojima is just there.
Hideo Kojima is there. Next to the tree. In a tree suit. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's dressed as a tree.
Mads Mikkelsen
is also there.
Oh, man.
Okay, so I just looked up Metroid pee scenes in like four different ways, and it does not seem like that's a real thing, and it seems like this might be a story that one of my friends in high school was telling. I'm very susceptible to things like that when they do not matter to me at all, and I want to believe them very badly.
Someone pranked you.
I think this someone pranked me. It's also possible that I heard this on Cool Games Inc., the podcast, because for all I know, like, I could have heard it there. But I'm pretty sure somebody in my... I know it wasn't my brain that decided that the creator of Metroid definitely liked to put pee scenes in their video games. But now I do think that might have been an episode of Cool Games Inc., actually.
If you know... anything about the connection between piss and Metroid, please let us know.
You because can tweet now, me at KINSLLAIDEN.
Because now I just want to know what that's about. I've never been more confused.
There
in my
were
life,
definitely some videos of it. I just didn't click on any of them.
As you should not. I'm almost expecting, given the popularity of these games and how soon they are to releasing and re-releasing, like maybe Tony Hawk in Fortnite.
Yeah.
No. Oh, but, guarantee Tony Hawk in Fortnite. I'm doubling down.
Okay, but they have to make sure he has a skateboard, because I've seen this, how no one can ever recognize Tony Hawk out of context.
Yeah. That is true.
I think he was on an episode of Zack and Cody with his skateboard once, too. So maybe Zack and Cody and Phil, I think, is the guy's name who played Mr. Mosby. Just a whole bunch of Zack and Cody characters along with Tony.
Just a whole bunch of Zack and Cody characters. Sure, sure, sure. I like that idea.
Phil Lewis, that's his name. The guy who played Mr. Mosby. We'll get Phil Lewis. We get both of the Zack and Cody kids, Cole Sprouse and...
the
Dylan
cast of
Sprouse.
Riverdale while we're at it. Yeah.
And the whole cast of Riverdale, definitely.
I mean, at this point, I feel like this connects back to, to Twitch and then to YouTube. Like, why not get all those big, like, YouTube stars?
Yeah, like Fred.
We've done that.
I assume happened at some point. Like, the...
Yes, Ninja is technically in Fortnite.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm thinking, like, who are those, the obnoxious twins? That doesn't narrow it down. I feel like there's a lot of obnoxious...
Logan and Jake Paul, yeah. Are they twins?
They're like brothers.
I don't know if that they're twins, but you are right to call them
that
obnoxious.
That is who I meant, thank you. But I can see that, that seems like the sort of thing that these big media conglomerates would start to do, is just all meld together. Like, you know, sure. we get the Disney people, so then we've got Marvel, so then we have, you know... Netflix, it's, you know, everything's connected.
Yeah, Netflix will be in the new Fortnite game.
Yeah, the character Netflix.
Well, that's, Netflix was named after the creator of Netflix. Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he spells it N-E-D-T, Netflix.
N-E-D-T, Netflix. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he has there's a special new item that gets introduced to the game at the same time as he gets introduced to the game, and it's a VHS tape item, and it can launch each of the two tape rolls that are inside of a VHS, or it's like, there's two rolls and there's one tape, and it launches both sides of the tape roll, pivoting, like, essentially the tape is split at the middle, and it launches two strings of tape, each that are attached to a tape spool at the end, and then the enemy gets tied up in those two strings of tape spools that get launched out of the cassette tape. Wow, that took me a long time but it would be cool.
You sound like you created a whole new game, and I like where your brain's going with that.
That's good.
Yeah, throw Fortnite in the trash. Let's make our own game, know what I'm saying?
I kind of like that idea. So the first weapon in this game, we have cassette tape that the spools from it can tie up your enemies.
Yeah, it could be an RPG.
Yeah.
Where everyone's attacks are based on a different form of media storage. And so
we can have like CD-ROM shuriken, like...
Yeah.
But the CDs don't work because they are cut into the shapes of stars.
Yeah, you can't listen to them anymore.
But you can unlock a special item that's basically a record player for the special shuriken.
Oh, I love that. It can slot it in there and it knows how to play with the skips. It can like smoothly
with the
slide
skips,
under.
Yeah,
because it's just designed so instead of a straight up and down needle, the needle has a little bend. So it calmly slides under as the different fan blades of the CD spin around and touch the top of the needle. Kind of like,
this is a great game.
Yeah. Yeah, like, on the Wheel of Fortune, how there's, like, the little thing that clicks on all the things?
Mm-hmm.
It would be like that. That's what it would do to each piece of the DVD. Just smoothly click under it.
I enjoy this very much.
Yeah.
Speaking of...
Fortnite, get at us.
New games.
Design you a new game.
Yeah, whole new game. Epic. Let's do it. Speaking of whole new games, it is... almost the end of March, which means one whole quarter of the year is going to be behind us, and we're going to go into the second quarter, which also means that there are new games coming out in the second quarter and in the coming weeks. So in the coming weeks alone, like I said, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 are coming to the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X and S. Monster Hunter Rise, a new Monster Hunter game, is coming to the Nintendo Switch. Balan Wonderworld, which we spoke about earlier. Yakuza 6 is getting a re-release onto Xbox One and PC. A ton of indie games, of course. The Binding of Isaac Repentance, which is a brand new title for The Binding of Isaac, is coming out for PC. So there's going to be tons of things to play in the coming weeks. So that's always exciting. But as we go into April, May, and June, which are the second quarter, we're going to see some very exciting new releases. One of which that I am excited about for April is the Nier Replicant sequel version 1.22474487139. I read the whole thing. April 23rd is when that comes out. In May, we are going to get Resident Evil Village on May 7th. Frickin' Deathloop on May 21st. So there's gonna be a lot of games coming out in May that I wanna get my hands on. What about you guys? Anything coming out in the next couple of months that you are excited for?
Well, there's a new class coming out for that media storage video game. That's just a barbarian that carries around a boombox and is what, and he, nothing is in the boombox, but he smashes the boombox over people's heads. So I'm looking forward to that.
Can't believe we made that game already.
So fast. Also, though, there are new Zelda games and a new Nintendo Switch coming out. And I know it's not in the immediate next couple months, but in my brain, that has been the next couple months for the last, 5 months.
Sure.
That's where my head is at. I want the new fancy Nintendo Switch with the fancy 4K. I want to play Breath of the Wild again, but different, very badly. I keep seeing this like Mario Bowser's Fury thing, and I know that the old Mario Galaxy games were like released on Nintendo Switch recently, and at least one of them was, I think both of them were, on like a package thing with another Mario game too.
There's like Super Mario 3D World and Bowser's Fury that came out February.
Like, that's one I definitely want. I know there's the one, I think there's the one with Mario Galaxy games. I don't know. Yeah, those ones. And there was a Yu-Gi-Oh game that came out last year that I kind of wanted to play just to see what it was like, because I never actually played Yu-Gi-Oh. But I figured, like, Yu-Gi-Oh on the Nintendo Switch I could get into.
Wait, there's Yu-Gi-Oh on the Nintendo Switch?
We should get
I'm finally interested in the Nintendo Switch.
Do you want to get Yu-Gi-Oh on the Nintendo Switch after this phone call?
I don't know what it is.
We should look at it. We should see if there's local two-player.
This is when you find out that I'm a huge Yu-Gi-Oh nerd.
Like, if we could just sit in bed and play Yu-Gi-Oh on the television.
Yeah, I've been playing Duel Links, so, like, that's the level that I'm at with my Yu-Gi-Oh embarrassment.
I've been playing a Tactics. That's the level I'm at with how old my toys are.
As far as things I'm looking forward to, like I said, I unfortunately haven't had as much time as I normally would want to play games, but the new Nier game sounds really cool. Mm-hmm. I've played parts of some of the other ones, and like my friends have cosplayed from the games and stuff, and just like just the art style, and like it's really
Nier Automata?
Yeah.
They made a new one?
Well, this is technically the prequel to Nier Automata.
Yeah.
That came out sometime in the early 2000s for PlayStation 2, I believe. It was originally released here as just Nier. But there was a version in Japan called Nier Replicant. We are getting that version, but we're also getting it upscaled for the newer consoles and PC.
So this should be on Switch, you're saying?
April 23rd. Oh, I wish I could tell you that, but it is not true.
No!
It is coming on the I'm a PlayStation, filthy, Xbox, and PC.
Filthy PC gamer, so that's all I know about.
I have a bunch of PC games, too, and I have an Xbox controller for my PC, but god damn it, if I wouldn't just like to play that on my Switch.
Yeah.
The Switch is a better designed console than every other console. It's just a better console. Nintendo did really well. That's why I'm so excited this 4K one. And I love the Xbox, and I do love the PlayStation. I'm not even mad at the other companies. I'm just very happy with the Nintendo Switch. And I wish that more games would be on it, because the way that the controllers fit in my hands is just so delightful.
Well, there are many games coming out for the Switch to be excited about, including the World's End Club, Famicom Detective Club, what else?
A new Subnautica. The Commies Fam Detective Club, which is, that's one with you and your family, which is my 12 inner demons. And the 13 of you do detectives stuff together.
I kind of love that, actually. This is giving me ideas.
Good.
The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword is coming out in July, the HD remake for that.
Is that on Switch, too?
Monster Hunter... That is on Switch.
Oh, fuck me, yes.
It is a Nintendo IP, and Nintendo IPs are on no other console except
for Nintendo. I thought they might
Nintendo
put it out on the Nintendo 3DS.
You are correct to assume that, but I think they're done with that.
Every once in a while, Nintendo doesn't screw up.
Mario Golf is coming out June 25th for the Switch. Legend of Mana, June 24th, which is I will be picking up because I love the Mana series video games. No More Heroes 3, August 27th. That is a very good game to pick up for your Nintendo Switch. Hot Wheels Unleashed on September 30th.
Oh my god, I get that. My Hot Wheels.
Gotta get Hot Wheels.
Up till like this whole time, and like, and now me I could unleash them.
Yep, as of September 30th, you can let them off the leash.
Hot Wheels Unleashed! Unleash your wheels now! Make them hot! Make them out there! Out there now! Hot Wheels Unleashed!
What a brave new world we live in.
I gotta say, the only other video game thing that I'm basically always looking forward to is, I mentioned before that I like to play The Sims, and EA mm-hmm. is always, they're always releasing something new that's definitely a money grab, and I think right now it's some sort of like, it's a new, it's not even a, it's like a stuff pack or a things bag, or it's something like that, and it's too, it's more money than it's worth, and I'm just excited to see it come out and then people be mad about it on Twitter. Like, I just enjoy seeing people be mad about things that don't matter, that I also don't care about, but I know enough about it to, like, know how silly it is, you know?
This is EA.
Yeah.
Introducing the new EA Stuff Pack Things Bag. You can buy it now, and we get money, and you get stuff packed in a things bag.
Again, just a wonderful,
brave new world that we live in.
But yeah, like, I love The Sims, but I also love hearing people complain about The Sims. I'm just like, stop complaining.
Bitterly even.
Just don't buy it. You don't have to buy it.
Yeah. Yeah. That is what I say to most people. You don't have to buy it. You shouldn't if you don't want to.
Yeah. Just go play Logical Journey of the Zumbinis. It's a 20-year-old game. You can get it for free.
Amen.
Logical Journey of the Zumbinis. It's a 20-year-old game that you can get for free. Play it now.
I do actually mean that. It's a fun game. It'll teach you logic. You get to, like, build pizzas and stuff.
Okay, we got the 3-beat. It's funny now.
That's very cool. We love it. We love everything that just happened.
It's a brave new world that we live in.
We are going to move along toward the end of the show now because it's just about that time.
It's going to end.
And so as we move along toward the end of the show, we always ask that you, the guest, give our listeners a recommendation. Which game should they be playing or be on the lookout for?
Well, I don't want to say goodbye, but I guess I'll share that the game that you should be playing, I'm going to have to advocate for Hades again. I think you should be playing Hades if you haven't picked up Hades yet, because it's like if you were in seventh grade and you loved Greek mythology and you imagined a beautiful underworld adventure Greek mythology game that was somehow more colorful than any overworld game has ever been, in a very pretty and beautiful way, and not in a distressing, dissonant colorful way. I recommend Hades. It's fun. There's lots of different weapons you could play with, and the way it feels in my hands when the controllers do that HD rumble. Wish I could have played the E minor chord a whole bunch of times in a row when I said that, but the guitar's all the way over there. You know, yeah, play Hades and be on the lookout for the greatest gaming game show ever. Is a game it's a type of game. Improv is a type of game. You should be on the lookout for that, and you should be on the lookout for all the improv games we do over at Sinister Parent Company on the Something Wonderful Right Away podcast, the Straight Off the Top of My Headlines podcast, which I will remind you on the 19th of March, which is the day this episode of The Weekly Cooldown is coming out, episode 90 of Straight Off the Top of My Headlines, which is my favorite piece of radio fiction I've ever produced, is also coming out. Straight Off the Top of My Headlines is an improvised news podcast. So yeah, all the games we play at Sinister Parent Company and that improv, that, look out for that, and look out for the greatest gaming game show ever, because that game makes me smile a whole lot, and it'll make you smile a whole lot too. Andrea, your turn.
Hi, I also know about video games now that I've come out of my cave and been on this, the first podcast of my life. So, like, I kind of said as a joke to go play The Logical Journey of the Zumbinis, but I've legitimately been having a lot of fun, like, going through, you know, there's all those websites that will put up, like, old, you know, now just free to play, like, you know, public domain games. And yeah, there was this game, it's called The Logical Journey of the Zumbinis, and it's this fun little, it's probably in like Windows 95 game. And it, the music's fun, and it's just kind of relaxing. And then games to look out for, games to look out for. I have been...
Other ones with fun and relaxing music.
Yeah. This one doesn't have music yet, as far as I know. It's still in the demo. It's a cute little kind of dating sim, you know, story type game called Monster City Bakery. Basically, you... and if you look that up, you can find them on Twitter. They have a Patreon. It's basically you move to Monster City, which is the city that is full of cute, dateable monsters, because you've inherited a bakery from your mysterious grandmother who's disappeared under mysterious circumstances. And so you get to try to learn how to run this bakery and, like, date all these cute monsters, like a werewolf or a giant spider or, like, a fairy or a sulky or, a weird bog monster.
Dating which monster is most like dating me?
I haven't played it enough to answer that question.
Loser. You should play more video games.
Well, if all of you donate and give to the Patreon, then the game will be able to come out, and then I will be able to play it and tell Aiden which monster he's most like.
Which Patreon?
There you go.
Monstrous City Bakery. Look it up. It's a really sweet game. I've already contributed to it.
It looks very cute.
Yeah. And yeah, there is a demo out that you can try. I think if you go on their website, you can download it. It's just the first maybe, I think, like half an hour to an hour of gameplay, depending on how fast you read. And yeah, it's really sweet. Like, if you like games like, Dream Daddy or, any kind of visual novel sort of game, dating sim, it's funny, it's sweet, and it's, even one of the romanceable characters is a giant spider, like an 8-foot-tall spider. But she is so charming and I kind of fell in love with her. She's a wedding planner. If the couple doesn't have a pavilion, she stands and covers herself in beautiful, like, twinkle lights and lace and is the wedding pavilion as a giant spider. And I think that's really sweet.
Yeah. Wow. Check out all those games, and also check out a game you already know, which is Apex Legends. I've been playing Apex Legends. I'm getting better at it. I still kind of suck, but I've gotten champion twice in a row just this week. So, let's do it. Let's play Apex Legends. You have already spoken about Sinister Parent Company and all of your podcasts, but if you have anything else to plug, now is your time.
Yeah, let's see. I'm on, again, Aiden kind of said it all on the podcasts, though I often guest on other podcasts and things like that, and I do have my own Twitter, so if you want to come talk to me on Twitter about romance novels and visual novels and all the old games that I like to play, or come yell about The Sims with me, I'm on Twitter at mythtaken_ID. That's myth as in story, taken as in Liam Neeson _ID. I love hanging out and talking to people on Twitter, so don't be shy. Even if you think that everything I said today was wrong, please come tell me why. I will not be offended.
Absolutely. Aiden, any last plugs?
You can follow me on Twitter at KINSELLAAIDEN. And that's where I post everything that I've done.
I must hire this chorus again. Alrighty. As always, you can find me at Comedyjace Gaming on Twitter, and you can find the Weekly Cooldown as well at WK Cooldown. Be sure to visit the Weekly Cooldown Facebook page, I suppose. Kami. I have not posted there in quite a... Yes, hello?
I forgot we have a website that we had down for a while, but we got it back up recently. Can I say what it is?
Yes, absolutely.
I was too busy being delightful with my guitar, and I'll say delightful because that's the word I choose to describe it.
Our website is goodidea.show. That's good idea, like the thing you say to people when they have one, .show, like the thing that it is. Good Ideas, our comedy philosophy design podcast. Go there to find that podcast, and also my Twitter's there too. Okay, Kami, thank you so much. Back to you.
Hey, you got it.
E minor
yes,
chord.
Yes, as I was saying, you can always find me at Kami Jace Gaming on Twitter and at WK Cooldown on Twitter as well. Be sure to check out the Weekly Cooldown Facebook page. Visit WKCooldown.com for more news and other episodes and reviews. Be sure to leave a review of your own or a comment on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser. It helps the podcast grow. I won't tell you another goddamn time, but I will next week. Be sure to check out the links in the description, including, of course, our Humble Bundle for this week, and support your favorite charities and support the show. Our logo and art is done by Corgian of Doghouse Esports. Follow him at Doghouse Corgian. That is DoghouseCorgian on Twitter. Our intro music is done by Zach Breiter of Captive Portal. That is all for the Weekly Cooldown. I'm Kami Jace.
I am Aiden Kinsella.
And I'm Andrea Dennison.
And we will see you next time. Thanks, everyone.